שם לכם שסטר ראשישיבה, דב דיוויד, אל חבוסה. חבוסה is never die, you always with your חבוסה. And ברוך שם. And with all the other רבנים, שסטר the תלמידים, alumni. You know, you're coming in as a guest rabbi for a one-time appearance. It's hard to figure out what to say. You know, what am I going to say? Leave with a message which will resonate. But you know, you always try to take something off of the parasha. Now this parasha of Eli Shmos is the parasha of Golus and Geula. Jews who go into exile and they suffer terribly, and then the redemption begins. And actually, Golus and Geula, really, you could say that exile and redemption is the core Jewish experience, basically. Jewish history, since Mitzrayim until today, you can actually describe the whole Jewish history, the 3,500 years, as Golus and Geula, exile and redemption. Starting from Egypt, going into Israel, exile, redemption, going out to Babylonia, exile, coming back, Second Temple, redemption, going out to the long exile, which hopefully we're part of it, closing end of it, and the beginning of the redemption as we're back in Israel. Exile and redemption, it's a very, very important feature of being Jewish. And it's not just the basic structure of Jewish history as a nation, but it's also in the personal experience of every Jew as an individual. We go through exile and redemption, exile and redemption. And I want to talk a little about this national exile, redemption, and the personal exile and redemption. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, we are? Okay, we're on. Great. So exile and redemption is the basic structure of Judaism. Golus and Geula, for the nation of Israel and for the individual, every single Jewish person. We'll discuss this a little bit. Something like the waves of the ocean, you know, the tide goes in, the tide goes out, in and out. It's the basic structure of where God created the world. God created the world with waves, highs and lows, ups and downs, ins and outs. And it's true about nature in general, it's true about human condition, and especially the Jewish situation. Now, all of us, we, as I talk about the nation a little bit today, all of us started in America, and we're now in Israel. So we still have one foot in exile and one foot in redemption. And to use the word redemption about Israel today, I think it's a very simple concept. I don't know why some people still think it's controversial to use the word redemption or Geula for Israel today. I think the Gemara says, Ein lecho keitz megula mezeh. The Gemara says, if you want to have the clearest sign that there's a redemption going on, look at the forests of Israel. If the forests are blooming, Ein lecho keitz megula mezeh. So I can tell you, yeah, I see the white beard. So I go back quite a bit, so to speak. And I came to Israel, I think the first time I was 16 years old, 15 years old, my parents, which was over 50 years ago. And I remember when we took our ride to Jerusalem, I remarked to my parents that there were no trees, barren hills. From Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, everything was basically barren. I saw a tree here and there. Now, if you drive that road, you know, I drove the road from Beit Shemesh to Hadassah Hospital today. And I was thinking as I went through all the forests, I saw the beautiful mountains and cliffs, and all covered green and beautiful trees. I said, am I in Israel or am I in the Alps? Switzerland, I remind myself of the Swiss Alps. And look at that, 50 years. Just 50 years. It's a small amount of time in history. And Eva Chokets Megulim Zeh, another amazing phenomenon is how many Jews have come back and live in Israel today? 6 plus, maybe 7 million Jews. It's amazing. It's more Jews than have ever lived in the country since Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun, David, King David, Solomon never had 6, 7 million Jews in the country. Never. We have the most Jews living in this country since the giving of the Torah. How can anyone say it's not a redemptive phenomenon? It's not a Gula Shalema. It's not for redemption. You can't speak about Gula Shalema until you have a base of Mikdash. So we don't have a base of Mikdash. You know, it's enough Pesukim that we're supposed to get by Shishi and Gemara, etc. So until you have a base of Mikdash, you can't speak about Gula Shalema, but you certainly speak about whatever name you want to call it. Eschata de Gula, Kates, Gula, whatever word you want to use is just irrelevant. But something incredible is going on. But on the other hand, you have the United States. And I gave a speech actually in YU a couple of weeks, right the showers before I got left. And I was really very sad. I was almost crying. The thing about the massive assimilation going on in the U.S. is just unbelievable. You have, when I was your age, also about 50 years ago, there were 6 million Jews in the U.S. Today there are only 4 million, according to the people who were identified. It means we lost 2 million Jews in about 50 years. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Populations grow. They don't shrink. 50 years ago, there were about 20 million blacks in America. Today there are 45 million. Populations grow. The Chinese 50 years ago had about, I don't know, 2 billion, now they're 3 billion. Populations grow. You have kids, people live 60, 70, 80 years, grandchildren. Populations are supposed to double, triple over 50 years, not shrink. It's a very sad phenomenon, the shrinkage of American Jews. We should have really today at least 12 million, 15 million Jews, we're down to 4. So, I was speaking to someone about this yesterday, and he said a very interesting point. I noticed something in my trips here to Israel. I noticed the following, that the children in Israel, the Jewish children here in this country, barely know anything about the Gullus, about the exile. Across the board, connect the most Haredi families, most religious. You go all over the other side, the Chiloni, completely not religious families, and you see these kids, whether 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20, do they experience in any way the Gullus? I don't know, not at all. It's not at all in their mind. Are they upset that there were pogroms? Do they think even about the Holocaust? Nothing. Nothing. All they think about is, I'm living in Israel, and whatever I'm involved with, this or that, fine. But they're not thinking at all about the exile. That's a very strange thing, because you think, after being in exile for how many years is it? 1900, close to 2,000 years. You come back, you're here for 50, 60 years, you think you remember your 2,000 years of experience. Why is that so? So, and then in America, how many people think about the fact that it's a Gullus? Did you guys ever think about that you're in Gullus when you were living in America? I don't think too many guys, or myself, like that. You know, America's a nice place. We're happy here. So what's going on? How come you have national amnesia, basically? And the answer is, was talking about this guy yesterday. He's actually in L.A. He's a very sensitive person. Turns out that this national amnesia of Gullus, forgot about the Gullus, is probably because it's too painful to remember. Because there's so much pain that people just don't want to remember. You go through a traumatic experience. A lot of people go through a traumatic experience. Right? Let's say they lose a relative. They don't want to think about it. There's too much pain. So same thing, Am Yisrael, I think today in general, across the board, there's too much pain in the Gullus, especially we had a Holocaust, not so long ago. There's so much suffering. You have to forget. Now, when you forget the past, what do you replace it with? Either one?
The
future. Exactly. If you have a future, and you put that future into your head, so then you have something to live with. If you don't have a future, then you're gone. So, it's like a trapeze artist. A trapeze artist, he's flying in the trapeze, so he's on one of these swinging things, and he jumps. He has to catch the other one. If he catches the other one, it's amazing. He left the first one behind, grabbed the new one. But let's say he doesn't reach out for the new one. He just jumps off the old one, forgets about his old trapeze. He doesn't reach for the new one. Finish. It's going to disappear. The Jewish nation, unfortunately or fortunately, the way you look at it, depends where you are. It's so much pain, we have to forget about the past. But if we reach out for the future, then we can fly. If we don't have a future, we disappear. And that's exactly the difference between Israeli Jews and American Jews. Israeli Jews have a future. It's where they're living. Whatever you are, be Chiloni, Dati Lumi, Haredi, whatever you are, you're living the future. You're living it. If you're in America and you don't have a future, then you disappear, unfortunately. Fortunate are the Israeli Jews who have that future. Unfortunately, those American Jews who just don't want to deal with the past and they have no future. So, as a nation, there's no question about it that we are in transition, a profound transition from the Gullus to the Geula. And those of us who reach out to take part in that Geula, specifically with Eretz Yisrael, specifically with Israel, are blessed and will continue to be blessed. So therefore, all of you are blessed because you're here in Israel. And part of my blessing to you is that those of you who do go back to America will keep that future in your head. I was happy to meet a couple of guys here in the Beis Medrash who were with us from OIU. They consulted with me when they were there, should they move to Israel or not? And I said, of course, you know, after my basic philosophy of life is you have to be part of this future. And they're here and they're very happy. So thank God for that. I'm happy they've been a part of that decision. Okay, so Am Yisrael has Gullus and Geula. But there's also a Gullus and Geula every Yachid. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the Pasha. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda comes out and reaches out to Yosef, and there's a reconciliation. And that is Geula. That was a Geula for Yosef, a redemption for Yosef. That was a redemption for Yehuda as individuals. Of course, it was a redemption of the Jewish people. We see that redemption has a lot to do with Achdus, with coming together. Why is Israel today a redemption, a redemptive process? Jews have come together. Why is America a godless, unfortunate, an exile, destructive process? The Jews are not coming together. And there are two levels of coming together. Yaakov Avinu, just last week's passion, he tells the brothers when he's his deathbed, he wants to give him a blessing. He uses two words. First he says, hey, Asfu, Vagid Lachem, come together and I'll talk to you. And he says, he Kaftsu, come together, Vashim, and listen to him. Why does he use two words? Hey, Asfu, Vagid Kaftsu. It's repetitive and two different words. Different sounds like this. Hey, Asfu is physically an Asifa. You gather things, you're in the field, and you're all safe, and you gather the different pieces of whatever's growing over there. So you put together a lot of Jews. They come together physically. That's an asifa. And that's one kind of achdus, one kind of coming together. And hikavtsu, the second word, is to be united. To be united with a common goal, with a common agenda, to make a kibbutz. Right? That's what they had in mind, to make a kibbutz in. A common agenda. We have a common agenda. Okay, so what? You know why Israel today is haschalta de geula, but not geula shalema? Very simple. It's an asifa of many Jews from around the world have come. Every kind of Jew that you can think of is here, physically. It's an asifa, but it's not a kibbutz. It is not a kibbutz. There is no common agenda. Everybody's into their own agenda. Every group has its own agenda. Don't think. If not yet, that second field that Yaakov Avinu says, he comes to. V'shimu b'nei Yaakov, v'shimu. It's interesting that when he speaks about making a kibbutz, he speaks about shmiya, because you have to listen. If you want to have a common agenda, you have to listen to the other guy. Just not talk your own thing, but listen to what other people are saying. So, where's chalpa de gula? We have an asifa, but we're not the kibbutz. It says in the Gemara also, it's interesting. The Gemara says, Kasha Yom Kibbutz Goliot. The day of Kibbutz Goliot will be very difficult. Why didn't the Gemara say, Kasha Yom Asifat Goliot? It will be very difficult to gather them. It says, Kibbutz Goliot. The Gemara is sort of, it has its own Ruach HaKodesh, sort of saying this, that it's much easier to bring Jews together around from around the world, boats and airplanes, and get them to Israel. It's much easier than to have them unite, be unified with a common agenda. The kibbutz of the Goliath is kasher, very difficult. And that's what, basically, if you want to have a challenge, you want to have something to do with your life, try to make people of Israel have a kibbutz. Try to get people to be united with a common agenda. I was very impressed by the way I saw on the signs outside that they're inviting you to go for the summer to Camp Hass, another camp, Yachad. That's a kibbutz. It's a beautiful agenda that you can contribute to bring unity to Am Yisrael. That's what you have to look for to do. Okay, this is the national sort of little bit of a peek into it. But what about the individual Golos and Gula? I know everybody has Golos and Gula. No one can escape it. It's like the tides of the ocean have to come in and go out, go in and out. The sun has to rise and the sun has to set. Everybody has to go through this Golos Gula. Probably it's because it gives you more power than the Gula stage. If you go through a Golos, if you go through a low down, difficult stage, when you come back with much more power. that if everything was sort of one straight line, ups and downs, I and Rabbi Jordan were mathematicians one day in the old days in City College, so we know about curves, ups and downs, parabolas, and things like that. Funny names. But life is not a straight line. It's not a straight line. It's a parabola, a curve, whatever you want to call it. It's ups and downs, five curves. And the curves are very important because it gives you strength. It's very difficult to go through the down, but the down, if you come through it, you come out much stronger. That's basically why Hashem created the world. You have to go through this Golus and then the Geula. I'm sure that everybody here felt at some point in your high school that you were in some kind of limbo. You didn't know what was going on. You know, someplace, you're lost someplace. And now that you're in Israel for the year, you feel up. I sort of belonged. I thought I did discover something. I did have a Geula. I stopped with the Geula. I personally think that you have to, when you come back, if you come back, or if you don't come back, but if you do come back to the Golus, the real Golus to America, you'll be able to work out the Geula. I hope so. Anyway, getting back to the Yochid, Yosef and Yehuda, they're coming together. And there are a lot of different ideas of what they represent. But one idea which I saw in my favorite sector of Hasidus, Shem Shmuel, is that Yosef, he represents Sefer. Because Ish Chacham B'Nava, he's very, very smart, very logical. He can run a big operation, figure things out. So he's an Ish Sefer. Yehuda is an Ish Regesh. He's a very emotional man. He gets all angry at Yosef and sells him as a slave. Now he's giving up his life in order to save him. The young man, he's the king of emotions. So what he just described him as a gur aryeh, as a lion heart, say a lion has a strong heart. So it's emotional. Lions get angry, they can be very docile. People with emotions. Every single person is a combination of thought and emotion. Vayigat she'elav Yehuda. If you put together in your own life, your, it's called the intellectual IQ with your emotional IQ. Thank God that the psychologist discovered emotional IQs about 15 years ago. It turns out that the people with very high emotional IQs do much better than the people with the high intellectual IQs. Emotional IQ is a much better parameter of being successful in life. So, and to tell you the truth, schools work on very much on intellectual, but the emotional is maybe certainly as important, if not more important. Anyway, it's Yehuda and Yosef, to bring together the intellectual self with my emotional self. It's a tremendous problem if they're not working in tandem. The Golus that we have is almost always that when there's a disconnect between our emotions and our logic. Our logic tells us one thing, but our emotions are telling us to do something else. Now, Yeshiva is dealing mainly with the intellectual part of the Torah, halacha, and I want to talk about that. The Torah is the thought of being a Jew. A Jew needs the Torah to think properly. Now, there's a big issue about morality today. And the Guardian came up with the idea of relative morality. You know, this generation, you think this is right and wrong, and tomorrow they think that something else is right and wrong. And things are relative. Then we came in the era of post-morality. There's no morality, God forbid. The Torah says morality is halacha. In other words, so many halachos, I don't know if you're doing daf yomi. If you do daf yomi, spoke about the last few days about paying people on time and how, you know, how people borrow land and workers and all their financial. It has morality, but it's halacha. If you don't do this the right way, you're a gazer, you're a thief. If you don't pay your worker on time, you're a thief. You're a gazer. Halacha. Halacha encodes morality. We don't have this idea that people can change morality. It's a very important point. And because it's logic, 1 + 1 will always be 2. 2 + 2 will always be 4. Halacha is sechel. It's like the laws of nature. The laws of nature don't change. Sun rises, the sun sets. Tides go in, tides go out. Rains, etc. Everything is according to the law of nature. The law of morality is also like that. And that's what halacha is all about. Only once in a while, there's a machlokes and halacha. So then there's a posek for asking this way or that way. And it can be some relative changes. But it's all within the rule of halacha. This is in Lok Misi, Kugo Shemai Vesto Zanti. Like the laws of the sky and the earth, that's parallel to the laws of the Torah. Now, in our yeshivas, we work very hard on Torah Shabbat Peh, Gemara, and that kind of thing. How come we're working so much more on the Torah Shabbat Peh? Why aren't we working more on the Torah Shabbat Sat? You know, Chumash, translation to Tanakh, things like this. Torah Shabbat Sat is a given. That's mamish God's word. It's not going to change. There's not going to be anything creative about it. You're just hearing what God says. Or learning what He says, which is amazing. But it's not really you. It's coming into you. Torah Shabbat Peh, Gemara, that kind of learning. It's you, because the idea of Torah Shabbat Peh is that the Talmud Chacham is part of the process. He becomes a shidduch in the Torah. It's an amazing thing that God says, you human being can think and your thought will become part of the Torah. So what you have to speak to your Rebbe. You have to speak to your Chavrusa. You have to give him your ideas. Your ideas are Torah itself. And Gemara says many times that God's presence, the Shekhinah, is within that process of Talmud Torah, within that Talmud Chacham, as he's learning. I learned many years with Rabbi Salvation through Rav. I remember him saying quite bad. I remember I asked a few times, did you ever have a chavrusa? Did you ever go with somebody? So he says, yeah. So I said, okay, Rebbe, can you get me the name? Who was your chavrusa? He says, yeah. I said, who? The Rabbi Shalom. God's my chavrusa. He said many times, I say a svara, and I hear this voice telling me it's a good svara, it's a good idea. Sometimes I hear it's a stupid idea. I hear God talking to me as a chavrusa. It never happened to me, wish it would. But he said it happens to him many times. So, but there is a presence, you feel it. If you're learning properly, and you're thinking, Torah thinking, Mara, Rashi, and the Tosfos, and Rishonim, you feel that there's some presence there, some godly presence, call it, which is in your psyche, which is in the environment. It's really amazing. It's really, I think everybody, when you get into it, you know, when you get into the learning, You will be a chavrusa, and you start arguing about something. You say, no, this is the pshat. And the guy says, no, that's the pshat. I think the word means this. It's not the word means that. You feel that there's something else in that discussion. It's not just you and him. There's some third element. It's the Shekhinah. The Gemara said the Shekhinah is there. And everybody who learns Torah probably really feels it. There's so much that of this ruach which is in the avira of the yeshiva, of the chavusa, of the Rebbe Talmud, a discourse, that this shechina, this aura of kedusha, of holiness, is completely different. I mean, Rabbi Gordon, we were math teachers in City College. He was there much longer than me. But when I was there, I taught math. Okay. It's not at all the same as when you teach the rabbi. Not at all. It's not the core, not just, this is Torah, this is religion. There's this other element of a Shekhinah presence which is in the air of Torah learning. It's not there when you're studying math or something else. And then, the Rabbanim, they say things, and it turns out that they say things that they themselves don't even realize what it is. 30 years ago, when I published the first sefer of Rav's Chidushin, Masechta Sukkos, so I brought it, among different people, I brought it to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he says to me, he got the sefer, and he says, make sure you learn with your children. Move on, because it's a lie. I tell you, I didn't understand that response. My children at the time, like 5, 6 years old, make sure you learn with your children. And it's sitting in my head because I'm into this project, writing the books. I'm going to learn with my children. I fast forward 30 years, and I have now 2 chavruses on the phone with grandchildren learning the Rav's father, Mishimos. One, I have a grandchild in Queens, calls me 3-4 times a week. I study with him, the Mishimos and Tovah Metzil. And I have another grandchild here in Israel, and I study with him on the phone, the Mishimos, the Rav Shulam, and Tovah Kama. So the Bible, you haven't told me something 30 years ago. Learn with your children, I talk about learning it with grandchildren, but they brought him to Rav. Turns out the Rabbanim, they say things. Rabbi Trev, another story. He was Sharon. I don't know if you remember Sharon, because he might be before your time, but he was defense minister. He was visiting America, went to Rabbi Trev, and having a long discussion. So the Rebbe says to him, he says, Jones, I have to go make a plane. He said, well, you have a problem with defense minister, you take another plane. So he stayed. So he kept on talking for another couple of hours. Turned out that plane was hijacked. Taken to Morocco by the Arab terrorists. They would have had Sharon dead. So then they asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, did you know that plane was going to be hijacked? Is that why you told Sharon not to go? He said, no, I was having a pleasant conversation with him. Why should he go to a plane? We were talking about important things. I didn't think about hijacking. The Baruch Shalom puts things into Rebbe's mouths, which they themselves don't know. But because there's the Shekhinah, which is around them, they say things. So, when a Rebbe says something to you, he doesn't even realize himself what he's saying many times. But you have to take it in and say, my Rebbe said this, and to me that's what it means. And go with that. Because Shekhinah medaberes, that the Gemara says, Rashi says it also on Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekhinah medaberes, I told Rama, the Shekhinah of the Torah is something that Rebbe say that thing to you. Okay. We have to be very strong in our Seichel, which comes from learning the Torah, but we also, that's Yosef, but we also have to build our leg, our emotions. The disconnect between the intellect and the emotion is the greatest ghost every person goes. Emotional health, strength, passion. David HaMelech is the king of emotions. Lev Tahor, the Rabbi Elokim. He teaches us about the heart. And you go to every possible event, every possible way that you can develop your Jewish emotions. Singing is a very, today, nowadays, singing, nigunim, is the number one, far and away, the best, the most powerful way to get in touch with your emotions. It is. We in YU, about 10 years ago, actually had a couple of Talmidim came back from Israel. One was from Lever Torah, and one was, I think, from Shraga. But anyway, I remember the guy from Lever Torah. They decided, so Rebbe, let's make a Kalabach Minyan Friday night. I said, Rebbe, they made a Kalabach Minyan Friday night. It's an amazing happening. Every Friday night in YU, a room, maybe, quarter of the size, but it's full from one end to the other. And they sing so much amazing passion. And these are guys that, a lot of them during the course of the week, I don't know what's going on with them emotionally. But that Friday night hits them at that core of the Lev Tov, of that amazing Jewish soul. So Niggun, singing is very, very important. Go to every Kumsitz you can go to Kalabach Minyan and have tapes, listen. Niggun. Niggun is the way to get in touch with Jewish emotions. You know, once you have the right niggun, you'll be able to use niggun. A niggun can help you sing when you walk down the streets of Yerushalayim. It can help you when you meet somebody. It can help you, you know, when you want to do things. Just get the right niggun. And so for us, in my generation, was Shlomo Kalba. Today, it's Eitan and other people like him, but you know, really get into it. And then, if it was Hashem Simcha, is another very important point. The niggun, I was telling you this, I'm giving you some logical way to talk about it. But there are two elements in the lathe, a very important Jewish lathe. One is Dveikus Hashem, to connect. I feel Hashem. I feel Him emotionally. And the other is simcha. I have this enthusiasm, I have this optimism, I'm happy, I'm doing things, great things. The derech of dveikus is through negina. And the derech of simcha is by getting involved and do things, especially helping others. You get into projects where you help others, you do chesed, that triggers simcha. I feel good. So I want to finish off with this. I mean, you're in Israel, and it's great to see guys coming back from America. That's important. And you guys are here. I hope I give you a blessing to be able to stay here. But remember these two poles. The moach, my mind, which is learning, especially Torah Shabbat Peh, and the lev. I have to develop my emotional side, which is Dveikus Hashem, getting close to Hashem, which is through the singing, and the Simcha, which is through helping others. If it's Hashem Simcha, you help other Jews, you get Simcha. Once you have that lave and the Moach, you put it together, then you have the Geula, the redemption, which we all seek. You will always have a goddess. You're going to have dams. But it's very important to get the Geula. The Geula process is what it's all about. Okay, Mazel Tov.